Welcome to the Hockey Development Talk podcast. Today, I'm delighted to be with Kelly Pride Fillingham. Hello, Kelly.
Hi, Gary.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm very good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. We've had a bit of a technical slip up this morning, so this has taken longer to record than probably any podcast in the world.
But it better be good after all that. It better be good.
Yeah, it best be. It best be. So, Kelly, do you want to quickly just talk us through who you are and what you're currently doing in the hockey world?
Sure. Well, I'm based in West Yorkshire, which is very, very chilly this morning. Currently, I am head coach for the under 16 Scotland NAGS program. I'm working with the Scottish Masters as well. I'm coaching the ladies ones and under 18s at Audley Edge, which I started this season, and club head coach for Huddersfield Dragons for the remainder of this season. And sort of my day-to-day is also working in sort of schools and leading the hockey program at Greenhead College in West Yorkshire. That's kind of my week at the moment.
It's kind of your week.
It sounds like a pretty cool week, though. Yeah, the AOC like cool colleges week. Stuff, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. I should have known that as well, being involved myself.
Yeah. We probably both should have remembered that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's start club level then. Let's have a little discussion around club level. So Huddersfield Dragons, when you say the head coach there, what does that look like? What are you currently delivering?
I started out just doing the junior section, what feels like a million years ago, but it's kind of, I guess, where I cut my teeth for coaching, started club coaching there. And I guess the head coach role has changed significantly this year because we know it's my sort of last season there. So this year it's very much been about development of sort of homegrown coaches. I'm running less sessions than I have previously, just purely because of hours in a day. So I'm just dealing with the performance senior stuff right now and the junior stuff. So my week shifted a lot with the Dragons, and now it's more about development of sort of the homegrown coaches so that we can, you know, have a program in place when I sort of finish up at the end of this season.
Yeah, I suppose that must be a pretty sad way, or a sad thought, is that you're going to be finishing with the club that obviously helped you get to where you are. But I'm assuming you've got rationale behind that, and your week at the moment sounds pretty hectic. And if something's got to go, I suppose that's the session that you've chosen to remove.
Yeah, I think it's been a huge decision, and one I've toyed with making in sort of the last few years. You know, I'm massively in my comfort zone at Dragons. I know everybody knows me. You know, I've been doing it for a while now, but I just, particularly with the ACP, it was kind of a bit of a kickstart and a kick up the backside to get out of my comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's probably the thing I'm the most comfortable in. And I feel like almost I could do blindfold at the minute. And I think when you get to that point, maybe it's time to shake things up a little bit. And I do feel I'm dreading it. I'm absolutely dreading it because I do love it. I do absolutely love it, especially the junior stuff, and seeing how we've gone from sort of 50 kids when I started to, you know, 120 plus. So that's been, I'm so proud of that. So it's going to be really, really tough, but time to cut the apron strings.
It is.
Get out there, yeah.
Normally, I'd at this point, I'd say, you know, we try and keep on track around what we're currently delivering. But that seems like a really organic place now for us to go back to, you know, Huddersfield Dragons there. Let's talk about that whole story then. I know that kind of rips up what we said we might go through. But let's talk about the whole story, because that in itself, people are really keen to know how did that happen? How did you go from, what did you say, 40 kids to like now 120? I mean, how's that happened?
Well, I started sort of, I guess, a little bit into your question around why I started coaching. And I was just captain of the ladies' first team, and the whole backside of hockey just completely intrigued me. So the tactical stuff, the technical stuff, where, you know, teams, players get motivation from. Yeah. And that's when I kind of picked up wanting to start start coaching, and it all started with the juniors. And I just felt like Kirklees is such a massive area geographically that how on earth did we only have sort of, you know, 50 kids playing hockey, and all of those were predominantly girls. There weren't any boys at all when I started, really. Well, the odd five. Our two kids being two of them, so I don't know if that actually counts. But so I guess for me it was just I saw a way to make a mark, if you like, and a way to sort of start to give something from a coaching point of view, rather than just focusing on playing. Because I think you just get so in your head as a player, and you don't think about where the next bunch of teammates are coming from, and you know, you just rock up every Saturday and you've got, you know, 14, 15 players. But I felt we needed to have a much bigger focus on where are all the players coming from when this group of players, you know, for women, go off and have babies or go off and, you know, retire, because predominantly women's team have a bigger turnover age-wise. So like now we're in the process of our ladies' ones at Dragons are sort of 16, 17. You know, and then we've got some older players, but we kind of lost a whole group of adults last year through babies, through, you know, retiring, different things. Mm-hmm. So I think I just kind of felt, where is that next team coming from? And that then made me sort of start to take a much bigger interest in what Absolutely. Was happening sort of junior wise.
So what did they do? What did you, obviously, I assume at some point you must have gone to the club committee and said, right, let's attack it. Can you remember roughly?
I knew a change of coaching was coming up, and sort of I'd just started my sort of coaching journey, if you like. So I guess I was quite ballsy, and I just went, look, I want to be head coach of the juniors.
As you do.
Yeah, I think I could do a brilliant job. I think, you know, you need someone that's going to invest some time in it. I've got this plan. We need to go and sort of engage with the schools. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I'd just got the Greenhead job.
Okay.
So it just seemed like a really organic sort of process for me to throw myself in with junior hockey to begin with, because I knew I was going to have the partnerships through Greenhead and through the Kirklees Schools Association.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Did that work out? I mean, obviously it has. So somewhere along the line, you've come from.
Not in the beginning. I found it quite tough. I'd be really honest. I thought I'd just go into schools, say, oh, look, we can offer this, this and this. Can we sort of partner up with you and you get your, you know, young hockey players coming down to the club? And I thought, it'll be that easy. Why haven't we done that before? Yeah. Obviously. And now I realise that's completely naive.
Yeah.
And there's a million other sort of hurdles to that. And you know, it's something we're fighting at the minute in Kirklees. You know, the amount of state schools that are cutting hockey out of their program, you know, and it's tough. It's really tough because facilities aren't there. And as we've talked about many a time, sort of in our area, facilities aren't there. You know, the PE staff are stretched in terms of after school time. So it wasn't that simple, but we had a kind of a restructure, if you like, and turned it away from being a community club into being more of a part of Huddersfield Dragons.
Yeah.
Because when I started, it was kind of its separate entity. It was sort of Huddersfield Community Hockey Club rather than part of Dragons. So that made a huge difference because suddenly we had the resources of the club behind it. So it was a very slow process. But, you know, now we're on the other side of it. It feels like, oh, yeah, that all went well. But no, not at all. Not at all. Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, do you think the turning point was when they sort of brought the Dragons name in and sort of linking up with them?
The turning point was definitely when we merged as a club, because Dragons has gone through so many mergers. You know, it's like a coalition at some point. But yeah, it's kind of an amalgamation of different clubs. And I think for a while we struggled with our identity. So getting the senior players involved with the juniors was tough because they didn't feel ownership of it. They didn't feel it was anything to do with them. But we're now at a place where, like I said, my role has changed this year, and it's all about, we have a junior mentor program where we have, on a Sunday morning, we've got six under 18s that are coming and sort of assistant coaching, and you know, we're trying to put them onto EH workshop stuff, and you know, mm-hmm. we pay them, they get minimum, it's minimum wage, but we've, you know, I've felt really strongly about that, okay. that they needed something back for their time, yeah. and, you know, and that's just been brilliant, and they've just flown, and their confidence, and watching them sort of tackle their coaching journey has just been incredible. So
that sounds great. And as your relationship manager, I didn't know that bit either. So I've learned something. Relatively new, which is great. I can make some notes on that. But with those juniors there, that intrigues me a little bit. How did you choose those?
We just kind of went through and looked at, I mean, obviously, as you'll know, coaching, you always get loads of the older juniors coming up asking to do their D of E voluntary hours. Yeah. So it kind of just, it was after sort of the 50th one had come and asked me to do that. And I thought, do you know what, they are happy and willing to give time up. Mm. And sometimes, as I'm sure you have, it's really tough to get the seniors to do it.
It is.
You know,
it is.
We tried to implement a policy where if you're in the men's and ladies first team, you have to do a minimum of, you know, X amount of junior sessions. But it is difficult. And, you know, rearrangements on Sundays, cup games on Sundays, you know, we've sort of really struggled with that. So I just thought, right. With my tie into Green Ed and the volunteer hours that they have to do for certain things at Green Ed, where can we utilise that 16 to 18 bracket? Cool. And that's kind of where it sprang from. And then it started maybe 3 years ago, no, 4 years ago, actually. We started with the first group and, you know, gradually they've taken on more responsibility and, you know, we've been able to pay them a little bit more as our junior section has got bigger and we're getting more income in. I felt that was important because when else do they get a job if not on a Sunday, you know, asking them to come and do their hockey coaching.
And they're doing something that, which hopefully they like and actually to progress.
I felt that it then gives them something where they can go off to university and, you know, get involved in the uni hockey programs, which the majority of them do, you know, and it's really good to hear how many are coaching now at university.
Wow, that's
my first ever junior hockey coach is now coaching for Bedford National League and working leading the girls hockey program down there. So they're like real sort of like pink standout moments for me when that sort of stuff
happens. Yeah. 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 Wow. I mean, that, just thinking about that in itself, I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? In such a short period of time, how that sort of transformed that individual. So do they do like a leadership program with you? Do you sort of oversee
a little? I suppose it's like a mentorship program. Like this last Sunday we had sort of our little development catch up with all of them. So the sessions are running and I just sort of, you know, jump them out and we have sort of a 15 minute catch up and it's all about their set development points. And you know, it's gone from it just being about very task driven stuff to now they're thinking about how can they, you know, get some technical input in there. How can they change it up? And that's the big thing for me, watching them watch a session not work and they instantly jump in and change it, you know. Wow. And I think they're like, I just get such a, I sound like such a geek, but I just get such a buzz moment when you watch them do that, you know, I can't remember what it was we were doing on. It was something about jump backs on Sunday. And one of our older junior coaches, she's 17, just stopped and was like, no, it's not working. And she chatted it through with the group about why it wasn't working and how they felt in the session. And then between the group and her, they completely changed what the practice was. And suddenly, you know, they were feeling that success. And when we chatted in her sort of development bit, you know, we talked about that and she hadn't even realised she'd done it. She's like, oh, did I do that? I was like, yeah, you did that. And she's like, oh, I didn't think about it. So it's how natural that's coming to them now. It's, you know, it's just brilliant. I mean, they're putting all the work in and it's me just sort of trying to help guide them a little bit. So, yeah.
So I suppose when we look at sort of the stuff that we've been through on the ACP and what's obviously out there now, player environment game, that's them being really aware of players. They're aware of the environment and they're aware of the games that they're doing, which is pretty cool for someone so young to be sort of naturally seeing that, because that's where a lot of coaches including myself at times, you kind of get drawn in and you forget around the three specific areas there. So to really recognize that that's going on in her environment, brilliant. Absolutely.
It's amazing. If I think about when I first started thinking about coaching, and at the time I started thinking about it, everything was still very coach centric. You sat and you listened to the coach give you the game plan, and you listened to the coach at half time, and there was zero player input really. But so I think about when I started my coaching journey, which was quite late, I guess, really. But they're starting it at 16. Can you imagine what they're going to be like in 10 years' time? We're all going to be out of a job, Gary.
Definitely. And you know what, though? That's great that we're physically seeing that. And I know that there's some challenges around it. But hopefully we are going in the right direction. And that's a great story to hear. So we spoke a little bit there about the dragons bit, which is Ace. So do you want to talk to me now about Alderley Edge and what's happened here?
Alderley Edge. Well, that kind of came out of the blue a little bit. I was sort of looking around in the summer at a few different possibilities. And I thought, I travel 4 hours up to Scotland and stuff, so Alderley Edge is kind of on my doorstep. It's only an hour and 15 minutes away.
On your doorstep.
As opposed to Dragons, which is literally 5 minutes down the road. I saw that, and I'd missed the deadline, actually, and got in touch with Amanda and just said, look, I'm really keen. Can I submit a day late? And she was brilliant about it and got the interview. And it's funny because I laugh with the squad about it now. They didn't actually want me. They wanted this really good looking guy that had gone for interview. And Amanda called me and she's like, they're a bit hesitant. They don't know if you're going to push them enough. And, I rib them about it all the time now when I'm making them do extra laps because they've misbehaved. I say, remember that time you didn't think I'd work you hard enough? So Amanda was brilliant, and I was really keen sort of to work with her with sort of all her experience. So yeah, she obviously took the punt and gave me the job, and it's been brilliant. The club is massive. I mean, it's a village club, but it's got like 700 members.
Yeah.
I've never seen so many juniors in my life. It's huge. I didn't meet an adult for like the first few weeks. I was like, where are all the people over like 20? It's a
wonderful club. I've been over
it's
to
insane.
Visit. It is lovely. Lovely setup,
It is, and it's just such a nice vibe as well. I was a bit worried because obviously being from Yorkshire and everything, are they going to understand me? Yeah. All of that stuff. But I've found it brilliant, and it's such a I feel like I've thrived in that environment in such a short space of time. And the coaches there are really engaging, and I delivered, actually. Amanda asked me to deliver on the environment stuff we've been doing with the ACP, and it's been brilliant to have an environment to take that back into and share it, and them sort of be interested in that. So it's been a heck of a journey.
So looking after at Alderley Edge, you said the ladies, the elite section there,
the ladies ones, predominantly, the under 18s, and they've just let me loose with the, I guess they were the under 13s, under 14s, wow. Under 13s. So, that's gonna be interesting. I had my first session last Wednesday. There's 55 of them. It was crazy. But we've started to sort of say, there's been a lot of changes, I guess, at Alderley this year. And I know the men's ones program, Amanda's done a lot of work with that this year to change things up. And we've gone in the ladies ones from one session a week to two sessions with team meetings and huddle. And, I've asked them to get on board with a lot. The demands on them have kind of really jumped up this year, and we're also saying now they've got to be involved with coaching the juniors on a Wednesday. So there's been a lot of change in a short period of time, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's
positive.
Yeah, let's try and discuss that. So let's talk about let's talk about the ladies section first. Let's have a look at that. So obviously the changes that you've implemented there, two sessions a week. you've introduced Huddle, and yeah, now are trying to get them to give back to the club by delivering in the junior section. Wow. I mean, those ladies are probably looking for that man, aren't they?
They hate me right now. Yeah. I said you really shouldn't have said that in your feedback, because it's all gone. It's all gone the other way.
Okay. So what's made you sort of come up with that as a program? Did you look at others and think this is what we need to do, or was this a Kelly wanting to, this is what we want to make it a community club with an elite section, this is what we need to do? It's more of a question because I don't know the answer. So
yeah, I think in terms of the, I was really sort of adamant at Dragons that the seniors had to get more involved. It's something I feel really strongly about, you know. I always wanted to. I feel like it's the, you have an extra sort of burden on you when you play in a first team, I believe, and that's to think about what the next generation is.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for me, I want people to enjoy that and not feel that it's, you know, a burden, I guess. But I'm really lucky because Amanda has the very same feeling, and she was implementing that with the men. And I think just knowing that the head coach of the club is completely on the same page as you with that, you know, it was easy to say, you know, look, let's get this going. And in fairness, the ladies ones haven't said no to me yet. I'm waiting for it. It's gonna, you know, they'll be right. No, that's the line, Kelly. We've drawn the line. There is no more to give.
Yeah.
But you know, they haven't said no yet. There's been discussions. In being brutally honest, we started the second session was always a fitness session.
Right.
We actually discussed this in our Paul Connolly ACP group last night on WhatsApp. The first session was always a fitness session, and that was the plan. But the attendance was absolutely shambolic. Sometimes there'd be five, sometimes there'd be two, you know, and I wasn't leading that. You know, that was always just going to be player-led. So then we had sort of a big, huge review about it. And they were really honest. And the junior players in there said, look, we've got school games, we've got school training, we've got Aldley training, we've got Aldley games, we've got age group, we've got PC. We are knackered.
Yeah.
You know, and at that point, you have to look at the picture and think the needs of all the players in the team aren't the same. So these kids don't need fitness. You know, they're doing above and beyond their hockey requirement for a week. The older players, is it fitness or is it more about being physically robust at that stage? So, you know, we sort of then said, right, what do you want? What do you want that second session to look like? You know, and it came back that they wanted it to be some technical shaping stuff with PC, A and PCD. So they could take that out of maybe the Monday session, and the Monday session be quite intense and focused on, you know, whatever we need to through the game. And, you know, can we do sort of physical robustness through stick and ball?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and can we fit our team meeting into that space as well? So the makeup of that second session is changed, but it's completely shaped by the players. Oh, and we want you to lead it. It doesn't want to be player-led. So
nice. Okay.
Luckily, I went back to the club and said, look, this, and they were brilliant. They accommodated it for me and changed around pitch times, because their primary focus is that ladies one's getting promotion this year.
Okay.
So, you know, so, I am lucky. Everything's been sort of yes so far. But yeah, I don't know how long that'll last.
That's pretty cool though, isn't it? That at least the players were able to feel comfortable in the environment they were in, to be able to talk to you at such an early stage and say, yes, they want it, but this is how they feel it could work better for them. So obviously we do need to consider the players and the time that they have nowadays. Not that obviously life hasn't, I know we talk, lots of coaches talk about, oh, you need to be careful because of, you know, the difference in life now. And so I don't think life's changed that much, but actually it's just more the way that the work impacts it, child impacts on it, you know, everything else that comes within that, that we're just probably a little bit more considerate of that nowadays. And I think that's really comfortable that they're, that they're able to talk to you around that. And that's a nice environment to be in. I'd say that was a healthy environment and a one where a player would definitely flourish for sure.
I do feel like we have got a good vibe going on. And I suppose when I reflect on the million things Paul makes me reflect on for the ACP when he asks his why questions.
Yeah.
I do think that's taken me by surprise, how quickly we've managed to set that environment where, you know, they are comfortable challenging, they are comfortable expressing their opinions. You know, some of these girls are 15 years old. You know, we have Reflection Sunday where they all send their reflections from the game on the Saturday through. So I can have an individual, you know, reflection back and forth with them. And then that sets up what they might do in their, well, the free swim time that we have, you know, we've been discussing that, what they're going to do in there. And it's gone much better than I guess I expected it. Touch wood, I haven't hit any major, major hurdles yet.
What you mentioned free swim.
Completely just jinxed it. Yeah.
So you mentioned this free swim time. And obviously, through your coaching journey, that's obviously been presented to you. And where do you run that, and how does that run? And for the listeners that might not understand what a free swim time is in the middle of a hockey session. So,
Well, I'd never really, and it was Karen Brown actually. I don't know if you remember our first sort of, it was the very first sit down thing for ACP. And Karen Brown came to speak to us, and she said about that the England and GB girls have this free swim time. And obviously I was like, oh, that's what we do at the start of a session when everyone just does what the hell they want to with the hockey balls before anything actually happens.
Yes.
So I thought, we don't actually realise, most of us as coaches, that that's already happening in our sessions. Because it's that bit where, I mean, boys are way better at it. The boys will just go off, but it's the same thing they kind of do. They want to hit the ball really hard at the goal. The girls will kind of like crowd and do a little bit of a passing thing. But so I thought, right, well, if we can actually bring, as random as it sounds, a bit of structure to that free swim time, you know, then that could be a really useful tool, given the fact that we probably do less technical shaping now than we did previously, you know, 5-6 years ago.
So they set that before they go. So in their discussions, they've kind of come up with that.
We reflect, then I'll say, right, what from that do you think, how does that shape your technical shaping free swim time this week? So we'll have a discussion back and forth, because obviously I don't set it for them, but equally I want to make sure they're not just thinking about stuff that has zero relevance, you know, for their game. So for, I don't know, the player that plays centre forward and she wants to learn to aerial from a 16, you know, yeah, we give her that opportunity, absolutely. But and it's also about trying to just shape that conversation with her to stuff she's going to find success in on a Saturday, because she'll do that for free swim. She'll go to a Saturday. She'll probably never execute that skill because she's never necessarily in that set position. So she'll not then feel success from that. So yeah, there's obviously a little bit of a steer from me, but it's predominantly shaped around their reflections and where they felt individually from the weekend's games that they want to spend a bit more time that we don't necessarily have within the group session. So I think it's been brilliant. The team love it. You know, I pretty much do it with every group I have now.
Brilliant. How long does that roughly last? Is it for you? How long does that roughly last?
Max kind of 15 minutes.
Yeah, cool.
But it also just gives me that sort of moment to set whatever the session's going to be. Because we are genuinely always rushing, because how many of us kind of get on a pitch and there's nobody been on before. And, you know, so your pitch slot comes and you're wanting to get bang on it. So obviously we make sure warm-ups and stuff are done off if we can to maximize, but then that moment you just need to set up what's happening, that 15 minutes, you know, and they're straight into it then, and it mentally switches them on, I think, for the rest of the session. Well, I found
that's pretty cool as well. So I like that sort of stuff, and I think that any kind of advice and tips like that, so anyone that's listening that's involved in coaching, try it. I would say try it and sort of adapt it to fit your learners within your environment. So I think that's definitely a really good way of doing it, for sure. So the last thing on Old the Edge, you mentioned at the start there, you're now doing the junior bit under 14, 13. You had 55 kids Talk me through that. How did that work? How did that look? Was it just you coping? Did you have
that
help?
That was me going home and needing a really large glass of wine.
Yeah.
no, it was, we had obviously the ladies, two of the ladies first team with us. And there are, Audley Edge have a good bank of assistant coaches. So I had Mark who sort of coaches across different different age groups. And then I had one of the young lady as well who'd come to do some volunteer coaching. So we kind of, I guess for anybody with big numbers, you know, your practice design is key when you've got that many players. You need to think about pitch, you know, pitch design. Sometimes when you know you've got sort of a smaller number like we have maybe with first team squads, you know, you have the relative luxury of sort of having that full pitch and stuff. But with that, you know, you've got so many things you need to hit with them.
Yeah.
We have our own coaching framework at Alderley, you know, that sort of we need to make sure we're ticking through. So in particular at the moment, we have a big focus on sort of ball carrying jump backs. So that was kind of where the session was built around. But obviously trying to put that into some technical context for them, but then giving them loads of space and game opportunity for 55 players is quite tough. So pitch design, I think, is really crucial when the group's that big.
Okay. So did you split into three? So did one lead one lead the other?
Yeah,
and then,
used sort of the quarters.
Okay.
So we pretty much had something going on in each quarter and, you know, a real roll around. So they had a couple of technical areas where they were, you know, getting the success of the skill. So jump backs in particular and sort of wide elimination. And then they were going into sort of game practice where the points and stuff were based around executing the skills we've been thinking about.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
So it went all right, actually. I was expecting absolute chaos for a first
week,
but, you know, they it went surprisingly well,
No, that's good, And I assume that the two helpers that were with you, had they been with the group previously, or was that new to them as well?
No, the two ladies, first team players, it's the first time we've done this. So they have a lot of holiday camps at Alderley, so I know that a lot of the under-18s jump in and get involved with the holiday camp. So I think Liv had done a little bit before. But yeah, it's they're familiar with all the terminology and stuff there. So that's really helpful. And, you know, we talked to the group before about, look, guys, you've got first team players coming. You know, at any point, if there's anything you want to know, just feel comfortable going and asking, because, you know, this is a good opportunity for you. So, I think the girls really responded to having them there, and it just, you know, felt that they were being taken really seriously as a group, because now we've got the ladies ones coach, we've got these ladies ones players coming to coaches.
No, that's great, and hopefully that'll inspire them, and it will make the end in mind. If we talk about Inverness end in mind, I suppose it'll make that be a bit more relevant to them as well. So the kids can start to think about what do we need to consider within that end in mind. You know, where do these play? I'd ask this for me if I was them. I'd really be asking those players if they'd have their time again. What would they concentrate on, or what do they find has been successful? What's been their biggest challenge? And trying to really think about, okay, how can I make sure that I become more confident? How could I be better at making decisions? Is there stuff I could do on and off the pitch? So that's really good that those kids
and
are.
The majority of the ladies' ones are under 19.
Yeah.
So for these kids that are sort of 13, they're not a million miles away from them. And I think that's so important. I mean, it's brilliant to have a head coach that's got experience and everything like that. But to see players come and coach you and engage with you that are a few years older than you and are absolutely where, like you said, that end in mind, absolutely where you think you want to try and get to in PC, you know, performing in PC, all of that. I think that's crucial for young players to have that connection and to see that pathway and exactly how it works for them.
And someone that's not that too far ahead of them. You know, they don't look up and think, well, that was 20 odd years ago. This is someone here that
absolutely
is,
you know, when they sort of when they look at me and I'm a million years old, and you know, offside was still a thing when I started playing. So they're like, what?
Exactly, exactly. And grass hockey, just how I learned.
Well, I had literally a year on grass hockey, and then it was pretty much all Astro. So I was quite fortunate, but I do remember it was the last year of offside.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Excellent. I mean, I without going off on a tangent, I remember having a conversation with my dad, who was very keen hockey player, very talented hockey player, actually, played some quite high level. That was the end of his career. When they took the offside out, he was absolutely adamant, and he's never played the game since. So he was a centre forward that used his pace to beat the offside, and that was it. That was it. That absolutely ruined it.
Can you even imagine if they brought that? If like FIH were like, right, we're going to shake things up a little bit. We're going to bring it back. We'd all have an absolute meltdown.
I think we would, but I'm not sure my dad would come out of retirement for it now.
He'd be like, "This is it. This is my moment, son."
Yeah, this is my moment. Cool. Right, moving on. Let's talk about your Greenhead job. Obviously, we've spoken about two different roles within club hockey, which was really interesting to listen to. You know, obviously one club's been your bread and butter. New club, sort of, you've gone in, you're trying to use stuff that you've learned along the way and want to try and implement to have long-term success, which is great. Greenhead, I mean, what goes on there, and or should I say to you, really, is how do you breathe after doing Greenhead and then going to your hockey? Because from what I can understand, Greenhead, the hockey there, you know, it's been a long success over the years, but it must be a challenging environment too.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's insane actually. It's such a tiny place, Greenhead College.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, they outpunch on so many things. Sort of their academia is sort of top notch, and their netball program, you know, they're regularly top three nationally with netball and with our hockey as well. And I don't quite know, like, I sometimes think, how on earth have we managed it?
Yeah.
But I think about this a lot. I just don't know what the sort of magic secret has been. I think they were brilliant. They took such a chance on me when they gave me the job, you know, and they were very clear, you know, about it being, it's an extra carrot for kids that are at independent schools, and that they choose to come to Greenhead for sixth form because obviously academically they were outperforming a lot of independent schools in the area. But if they, sport is a big deal in independent schools, and they felt if they had good sporting programs, good enrichment programs, it's that extra carrot, you know, so they were brilliant. And they just said, look, what do you need? What do you want to change? I have been quite lucky when I think about it. Like, people very rarely say no when I say, right, let's do this. You know, and you sort of think back, so they were brilliant. And I said, right, well, we need proper structure for training. We need more training time. You know, the program needs to change a little bit. Where does our focus need to be? So we kind of changed things right in the beginning. And I think it's probably helped because I've had a lot of kids who I've suddenly started coaching at Dragons when I started, come through Greenhead. So our teams are usually made up from kids that I coach at Dragons that come, and we get a lot of girls from Wakefield girls and sort of Silcoats, that area. So they're playing at kind of Wakefield. So pretty much the Greenhead team has always been made up of a mix of Huddersfield Dragons and Wakefield girls. And it helps that they come and they've already got that really good grounding of coaching and, you know, sort of club hockey.
Yeah.
And we just seem to have found some kind of magic formula that, I mean, it's what, 7 years and we haven't dropped out of the top three nationally. So it's crazy. It is crazy. You know, and I keep thinking every year, I say to Liz every year, this is the year. And she's like, Kelly, you've been saying that for 7 years. Yeah. I'm like, no, I've got a bad feeling about this year. I'm absolutely terrified of that year that it actually doesn't happen.
Yeah,
because it's, you know, we try and think about the process, and we're so encouraged to be process driven and not results driven. But I think when you've had that long term success, and you know, like, the stuff for the colleges is knockout. You know,
it is.
The cups are knockout. The, you know, it's the tournament at the end of the year. You know, if you lose, it's kind of, it's done. So it's really difficult for that. I've sort of skirted of that balance of process and about winning. as yeah. I'm sure most of us do.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, listening to you there, obviously that's a fairly pressured environment that you, but I suppose in some respects, probably not pressure from the organization. I doubt that they're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, but I doubt they're saying to you, you must be top three. But for you in your head, you're thinking, I don't really want to not be in the top three because it's been top three for such a long time. But you don't want to pass that pressure down to the kids either. So the way bringing that into your environment and the way you're doing it, it's obviously working, you know. And I used to work in further education, and it's very hard as well because funding wise, you know, the demographics of that have changed. So for the college to still be investing in that and investing in that time is a massive thumbs up. And
it's huge,
It's great that they've got you and what you're doing. So I think that's a really good thing. But, you know, what you're saying there is you're putting pressure on yourself to try and get the best out of these kids, which is awesome. They're learning there. It will be great, you know. So that then I am pretty sure you'll want to win with the right attitude. You're not going to want to win at all.
Which is
awesome. You know, they're learning so much about themselves, and it's another competitive element where they can take something away. And I'm pretty sure that you're linking other bits to it as well with the end in mind, which
we do. I think it's the important thing for me is I remember the year after we won our first one. So the first year I was there and we won a bronze medal, and we'd never have done anything like that before. And I remember the first session, the next academic year of the new kids coming, and me being like, right, we're going to push for silver.
Right.
And then now I think, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. That was my first introduction to those kids. Right. Well, I want to win a silver medal this year.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm really honest in my self-reflection, and I think, what an idiot, that was my first introduction to those kids. I want to win a silver medal this year.
Yeah.
And I've changed so fundamentally since then. It's I don't recognize sort of myself half the time with it, but
that's great though, isn't it? That you're reflecting of you and you've recognized that, which in a second we'll talk about your journey anyway. About how you've sort of reflected on that. But I think that's really, really positive, and a big thumbs up to Greenhead for allowing the children to have that enrichment environment, because not every further education establishment allows that anymore because of the funding restrictions. So that's great. Yeah,
it is. It's not a cheap thing for them to run. You know, the facility cost locally, as you know, is huge.
Yep.
And obviously they pay for my time, and we're off to Wales next week in the cup, and they pay for the kids to stay overnight. So they put a massive amount of funding into the hockey program, and I hope they feel like it's worth it. I can't fault Greenhead. They've been absolutely fantastic.
That's great. Okay, moving on a bit further in Scotland. Let's talk about, you obviously had or still have two roles within Scottish hockey. Do you want to quickly go through what they are and how they even came around?
Yeah, well, I guess the Masters was the first thing, and it was from the ACP. I don't know if you remember, we got an advert round they were looking for coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd sort of been having my debriefs with Paul, if you like, about, and this was really early on, it was only a few months I think into the process, and I'd identified that I wanted to get out of my comfort zone. So obviously I mentioned earlier that I'm in my comfort zone at Dragons, and you know, Greenhead's been going so long as well that there's a slight element of that there, and I just felt I really wanted to stretch myself. And I thought, what could be more stretch than traveling, you know, 8 hours round trip to go and deliver in a place I've never delivered any hockey before to a group that are ex, you know, international and national league players. So I guess that's where it came around. I think I'd just not had enough sleep at the moment. I thought it was a good idea.
Okay, so how did you find the Masters? What was the biggest challenge that you came up with there, other than the 8 hour round trip drive?
The 8 hour round trip that I've quickly learned you can't do it in a day.
No.
The biggest challenge, I guess the play, like our, I guess the players in terms of how their what their experience is. You know, when I first took on the 50s, I was initially excited that when I looked down the list, there was these ex-GB players, you know, that had won bronze medals. You know, there was ex-international players that had got, you know, a gajillion caps between them. You know, and I thought, oh, that's going to be amazing. And then on the drive up to Scotland, the more I thought, oh, my God, what on earth have I got to coach these people? You know, they've literally been there, done it, and bought the T-shirt.
Yeah.
So as I got nearer Glasgow, I think I thought, oh, my life, you know, this is a bad decision. But I can't honestly emphasise, Gary, how much it's impacted my coaching and in such a positive way. You know, I don't know how I found the time to sign on for it for another year, but I knew that it was important to me that I did.
Right.
Because it just took me completely out of my comfort zone. You know, I was out of my box. I was having to think completely differently, deal with a complete different set of, you know, player requirements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really got to get to grips with remote coaching, which was a new thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, and just seeing a team through a tournament style environment. I'd never really done that before on a large scale, you know, and it was the exact experience I was looking for. And the World Cup sort of in Barcelona was just amazing. And to come forth for us, you know, it's such a tiny place, Scotland.
Yeah.
The amount of people that play hockey there and they sort of, the geography of it all, I was just so, so happy. Not happy we lost to England in the bronze final, obviously.
I had actually done a little bit of research before we chatted. I was actually going to bring that up.
I still can't think about it.
Yeah, I'm glad that we'll just skip. We'll skip through that a little bit. We'll skip through.
We won't talk about being 1-0 up with 7 minutes left. To play.
But what a journey. What a journey that is. Yeah. I mean, to think that you're coaching some of those, you know, the individuals that you've got in there, the challenges that presents, and that you've just sort of grasped it, you've cracked it, you've taken them to a World Cup. Yes, you've come fourth. You put the learning that's gone on within there. And obviously for you to want to, A, stay on and do it means that, you know, you've enjoyed it. But obviously, if they didn't want you to stay on, that would have been made quite clear as well. So they've obviously enjoyed it too. So your coaching has obviously developed that. How did you find it with the way that we are nowadays with the, you know, delivering the in the environments and stuff? What's different then to that to say Huddersfield, Old Liege, something like that? What was the difference? What was the key difference that you had to sort of think around within those coaching sessions?
I think the fact that they were probably predominantly used to quite coach-centric coaches because of the generation they grew up playing hockey in.
Yeah.
And I went up with a very sort of, this is the way in terms of gameplay, you know, all the end in mind stuff, the attacking and defensive principles we work around, you know, and that is, you know, I'm completely bought into that. So I think that was a big challenge for me.
Yeah.
And I was stunned how quickly we managed to find common ground with it. You know, in our last previous trial session of this year, you know, there was no drill. There was no cones in terms of drill stuff. They did. Yeah. We did our selection basis, not through giant 11-a-side games, but by constraints games, you know, and the feedback, they just absolutely love it. And, you know, it's such a buzz to know that they are getting on board with a slightly different way of doing things, you know, and how much they've put into the analysis and stuff. You know, I send them last year, I was sending on like little video clips of a tilt press and, you know, we'd have a massive discussion about it then on our WhatsApp group. And it was just brilliant to see that level of interaction and, you know, our team meetings and stuff. I just stand back and I set the video playing. I remember it really well. We're at Glasgow Green. I'd videoed a game against the 55s, I think, that had like Ali and Janet playing, who are just two absolute brilliant players who I've tried desperately to get to play down an age group and come and play for the 50s, but they're not having any of it. But they're obviously Ali Ramsey, ex-GB, Janet, ex-Scotland, and they were playing and you know, deceptive pass-wise, amazing. So she kept splitting our tilt press wide open. because we weren't connecting as we came across. So we'd tilt and then our left side would leave a big gap and the slide pass had just absolutely cut us to ribbons. So I'd set that clip up on the video and I'd got my coaching points that I wanted to try and sort of discuss, but they ended up picking the remote up. They were pausing it every sort of 20 seconds. I ended up going and sitting at the back and eating my lunch. And I don't think I spoke for sort of 25 minutes. And they were just, and I thought, oh, that's just amazing. I wish I'd videoed this moment.
Yeah, because that was going to be my question there, is did you get to video any of that?
No, I didn't. I was too busy eating my lunch. but yeah, no, I didn't. I wish I had, because there's just so many of those moments. And again, when we were out in Terrassa and, you know, they bought into process so much, right down to the fact we had a set place to put our water bottles, because we'd gone through all this sort of, how do we manage the weather? Because obviously the temperatures were ridiculous out there, you know, and every step of the way, not a single one of them stepped away from any of that. And for that age group, when they've got a million other competing, you know, aspects on their time, they genuinely couldn't have given me any more. And
that's great.
You know, a sort of really, really affecting process for me. It had a massive impact. Yeah.
I like that, and I think that's a credit to yourself that you've managed to instill that into that sort of environment. Well done, I'd say. Yeah, big well done. So then you obviously got a new job with the girls program in Scotland. So obviously that's something that's relatively new now, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, we're in the process of I'm just kind of finalising the coaching team, which I'm really excited about. Spoke to a young coach last night, Zoe. She's been in the under-16s, under-18s, under-21s, as in a player for Scotland. And I came across her at the first Talent ID day I went to, and just really liked how the players looked at her and thought, you're just coming through this process, you know, we've got so much to learn from you. And she had a really good sort of open dialogue with them. So for me, it was really key to get some assistant coaches on board that we can sort of assist in their journey through coaching, because obviously the ACP now is going to be a bigger influence in Scotland. So, you know, Zoe's going to be a brilliant candidate for that. But also that they, you know, it's not about beating Ireland in a month's time. It's about how many under 16s can we make sure stay in that program and become under 18s and under 21s.
Great. And obviously you've got a vision of how that's going to work, but obviously the players themselves need to obviously buy into that. So I'm assuming that you've got a few ways and means that you're going to try and set that environment for that to happen, which is obviously working with the different age groups as well, which is going to, I'm sure, have a major effect on that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the challenge. It's, again, I think the Masters has stood me in such a good stead. And I just would say anybody that's looking for that challenge, don't be afraid to take on Masters coaching. I know it's not sort of, you know, PC coaching or you know, Academy Centre stuff, but it is in itself such a different challenge and it is really rewarding. Yes. And the remote side of the coaching is something that I wouldn't have learned if not for that experience. And that is going to be key for me, I think, with this Scotland job, because we can't, you know, the miles are what they are. They've took a massive gamble giving me the position, I think. But, you know, I think I feel really strongly that with the remote side of it and having coaches based in Scotland, you know, we can try and, bridge the gap a little bit more. But yeah, I think the buy-in from the players is going to be essential. The buying from parents as well.
Yeah.
You know, I really like when I was at the PC you were doing the other day, I really liked that you gave the parents time to come and ask you questions, because as much as we'd like talk about parent behaviour on sidelines and stuff, they're the ones doing the driving. They're the ones saying yay or nay to, you know, X amount of sessions. So it's key and crucial that you've got their buy-in as well as players. But I did really like that as a side note. I thought that was...
Thank you.
Yeah,
it is definitely something which I believe in my own environment needs to happen more. And it's one of the things when I took on that role of moving on from the Midlands to Yorkshire was around that parental engagement, and was trying to sort of get to know, so not just the kids, but also get to know the parents, get to understand them. And also try and, if I'm honest, one of the reasons why I try and get them to come to me and ask questions, or why I might go to them, I always go around at the start. I would always go around just to see how everybody is, anything you want me to know, because I'm likely to get more info from them than I am the child about what's going on in their own life. So, you know, they've been having trouble at school. They've got a lot of work on. It's an exam period. Something's happened personally in their life, you know, and it might be as little as the guinea pigs passed away, but I get to know things that I probably am not going to get to know from them boys. But then also I can also have that little chat, and I'm not going to beat around the bush with it. Richard Shorter has that great book, The Conversations for the Journey. I do utilize some of that. Now, I'm not saying I take the whole question and give it to the parents, but I do try and get them to consider what sort of questions they're going to ask their children on the way home, because whether it be we're at Hill House and they've got to get to Harrogate or York, or whether they're just local and it's only a 20-minute drive, that conversation that they've got in that car is prime time. And it used to be a lot around winning. What did you know? Did you win today? What did you, you know? Did you win, lose? Did you score? Just trying to get them to consider different questions. So those questions might be, who did they feel was the best player that they played against today, and what attributes would they want to take and put into their own game? Something like that, you know. Who was their best team player? Why? You know, what would you, how would you support that person? You know, just those random things.
I think that's brilliant though, because if we're, you know, we're educating ourselves in a different, completely different way to how we have done previously. We're educating players in a completely different way. And we kind of just forget that the parents are an integral part of that.
Yeah, they're huge.
You know, and, you know, we have to sort of provide that opportunity for them to come along on that journey that we and the players are going on in as well. And that's going to be huge for me, I think, because as well, I'm English.
Yes.
I'm coming in Scotland. Yeah. I've got to get them all on side really quickly. But I'm from Yorkshire, so I don't actually think that's quite as bad as if I was from all the way down south.
No, that is true. So the Scots probably accept that slightly better for you. So yeah.
Yeah, well, I was told that when I did the Masters, it's not quite as bad because I'm from Yorkshire. Still technically north.
At least they're open with that.
That's the truth, yeah.
Okay, yeah, final role.
I'm super excited, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, final role to talk about. There's so many roles, Kelly, here that it's unbelievable. Final role is it was Great Britain Colleges, then it went to AOC Colleges, and now I believe it's English Colleges. It's changed its name more times. I've been involved for a long time with the boys section. You're now obviously involved in the girls section. What's happening in there at the moment? How's that work for you?
Well, gosh, busy at the minute. We've actually sort of used your boys' section model to shift the girls' program a little bit. I mean, you'll know, obviously, but for everyone listening, it was pretty much based around an abroad tour at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I just felt we were missing a trick a little bit. And, you know, the player pathway is what it is, and it's brilliant, and it does right by so many of our young players. But there are always going to be those exceptions to the rule. Mm. And I just think it's brilliant for young players to get another direction where they can hit performance hockey. You know, so the fact that when I sort of spoke to you that first time and the boys play against, you know, the England under 16s, the Scotland under 18s, Wales, you know, I just thought, we can go abroad and we can have a week in the sun and I can try and like run around and herd them like cats.
Yeah.
While they're in a foreign country, or we can sort of make it really performance based here, and it's tied in really well with Scotland because I've been able to sort of, you know, fudge bits of that together and kind of create some sort of mini series with all of that stuff. So, but yeah, we're gonna run it kind of a, you know, following on and copying a little bit from the boys and as a performance program. So we're just in the process at the minute. I've literally today just split the squad up between the three coaches and we're all going to sort of have a mentorship group.
Yeah.
Because part of the remote coaching for me is touching base with the players every week. So you know what their pitch looks like, how is their game at the weekend, you know, what game time are they getting, you know, are they enjoying it? Are they, you know, do they feel like they're playing in a line where they're happy? You know, so when we do finally meet them once a month, because it is, you know,
pretty much now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is once a month that we know a bit about them. We're not sort of starting from scratch each time. And then, you know, we don't hear from them in the month in between. We see them the next time. So that for me has been the big shift and something I'm really excited with the with the English colleges and the Scotland under 16s, that area of just getting to know the players and getting them used to speaking to whoever is identified as their mentor on a weekly basis. You know, I think it's something that starts, you can do it at a club level. We all have leadership groups now. It's very rarely sort of just the one captain that sort of works as that mentor group, but to expand it to a bigger program, I think, you know, is really exciting as well.
That's great. And, you know, it's going to be awesome to see how that works and, you know, in years to come to see what sort of development that has. And I know that with on the boys' side, when we've looked at it, it's just the feedback from parents and the kids have been that if this is the highest level they get to play at, they get to play a couple of international fixtures. They get to learn so much about playing in a team that where they didn't know anybody when they first came in. You know, they barely know anybody. They see each other 5, 6, 7 times a year. It's all for us. It always finishes in Scotland, and we always go play Scotland 18s for test series. And yes, there's a competitive nature. Yes, everybody wants to win, but we're going to win it with the right way. But these boys are going to go on such a journey, and I think the girls will go on that journey now too, which is great.
It was interesting because some of the, you know, I'll be really honest, some of the girls didn't come back this year because there wasn't going to be a tour abroad.
Yeah.
So it's a real culture change as well.
Mm.
And, you know, it won't matter next year because those girls will never have known anything different.
No.
But, it is that. And I think that's you've hit the nail on the head. If that's the highest they can play, it's our job and obligation to make it the best environment. That's kind of where I've looked at it and taken from obviously what the boys are doing and thought, right, yeah, that's going to be exciting. But, you know,
it's exciting.
Going to be a challenge to fit it all in, but, you know, who needs to sleep anyway?
Absolutely, yeah. So for me there, you've spoke about so many different environments there and how you're having to adapt and go through. The one thing we haven't really spoken about is your journey. Obviously, we've spoken that it started at Huddersfield.
Yeah.
You did speak at the beginning, or not at the beginning, a while ago, where you mentioned about you'd gone into Greenhead and you said that last year we got third place and this year I want to get silver. Obviously, you've changed.
I don't remember.
You've changed.
Yeah.
So, do you want to go through that journey? I assume you've undertaken some qualifications. You've mentioned the ACP, which we can talk about again in a moment anyway. But there's obviously a journey that you've been on, and some listeners will be really intrigued to find out how that all sort of brought to where you are now.
Yeah, well, I think it began, actually, I was working in marketing randomly, sat in an office 9 to 5.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely sort of dying inside that I had to do this sort of office-based job when it was completely not what I wanted. And it sort of coincided with my aunt, unfortunately, passed away, but she left me inheritance, and her whole philosophy was, you know, go out there and do what you want to do. And I literally quit my job the next week. You know, I was fortunate. I had this little pot of money that I could sustain myself while I put myself through various coaching qualifications and other, you know, different CPD opportunities. And I knew fundamentally this is what I wanted to do. I felt I had a real, you know, sort of passion for hockey in particular, but in particular sort of working with junior players. And I just felt I had a skill set for it, I guess. It snowballed from there. And I think reflecting, one of the things I've not been frightened of is adapting to different change. And that's the ACP in a nutshell, isn't it, really? Being adaptable and not pigeonholing yourself as one type of coach. So even though I went through my coaching playing career and, you know, played to a decent standard and all of that stuff, very coach-centric.
Yes.
You know, I can't think of coaches that I had that talked in the language that we talk in nowadays or any of that. It was all coach-centric. But I did still feel like, as a player, you want to have ownership of something. I didn't like being told what to do all the time. And I thought there's got to be a different way of sort of going about all of this. So the ACP, has just been sort of brilliant in that sense, that almost validates that, yeah, that is the right, that is kind of the right way to do things. And it is a positive message for coaches and players. And more than the workshops, actually, it's been the dialogue with people like yourself, other coaches out there, you know, coaching on a daily basis. And Paul is unreal, mentor, has been brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's absolutely unreal.
It is, yeah. And it does change people. Like when you say it changes how you feel about things, you know, it sounds like it's easily changeable, but it isn't that. It just makes you think so differently about things and makes you just that whole zoom in, zoom out helicopter approach.
Yeah.
You know, and the moments where you do zoom in, you're just critically thinking differently to how I was sort of 3 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I have a different mentor to you. So I have Phil Rhodes. I dread the question of why. I dread that question of why.
I have nightmares about it. Yeah.
But actually, that's made me understand my coaching. It's made me understand the people that I coach so much better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it just makes everything just feel sort of like when you're taking a session and you suddenly understand the intricacies of the session more, you as a coach enjoy it more.
Yes.
You know, and you're not just task setting, you're not just going through the motions of, right, well, we didn't score in this position on Saturday, so we're going to do a coaching session on how we score from that position. And, you know, that whole journey and evolving from that place where that's what we learn as players, and that's what we did, repetitive tasks, you know, repetitive sort of stuff like that, to where we're at now. And I just think, God, I wish I was a player now.
Oh, so much more adaptable.
Yeah.
So much more adaptable. I wish that I could go back and do it all again and be as fit as I was when I was sort of 18, 19 and was probably able to run up and down a pitch, whereas now I lose a lung even if I sort of half step on a pitch.
And that's it. And I think it makes me miss playing less, actually, this different kind of style of coaching, because I feel just more ingrained in every aspect, you know. And even we did the motivational climate recently. Yeah. And I think actually that's been my favorite one, randomly. Even though, you know, it wasn't anything about anything particular happening on the pitch.
Yeah.
But I just loved this idea of, actually, you can empower a team and they are their own motivation. You don't need to do it for them. You know, it doesn't need the rousing, you know, Spartan speech before you go on the pitch. And if you've got set the right environment, they will be motivating, you know, themselves. And
they will.
I just thought that's just, I loved that. I loved that message. Yeah. That was good. Yeah.
So it's your journey. Roughly when did you start coaching? So when did you roughly start?
Oh God, how old am I now? So roughly I was 22 when I first started thinking about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'd be 23 when I first seriously did anything about it. Yeah. Yeah. So in terms of like just helping out in sessions previously, like we all do a little bit as players, but seriously starting to think about it, 23.
Okay. So it's been a good journey. And you know, if you think about where you were and where you are now, the person that you were when you first started coaching to the person that you are now, you know, who would believe that? You know, would you believe that? Would other people believe that?
I got to sort of North England level, and when we had trials back in the day, the under 18s it was, but never fully made it all the way. And I think at that point, I mean, I tore my cruciate knee ligament, and that kind of put such a dampener on, you know, that sort of period. And it took me a long time to sort of jump back from that. And I think I always knew I hadn't quite achieved that as a player, but I thought if I worked hard enough, there's no reason you can't go and achieve that as a coach.
Yeah.
And it feels like so much has happened in this 2 year period of ACP. And I don't know if that's just given me the confidence to go out and connect and network a little bit more, because it's so easy to just get in your own little bubble.
No, it is.
It is so easy to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a credit to yourself that you've actually just wanted to challenge yourself. You know, some coaches are quite happy with that environment, that it's safe and it's for them, you know, it's comfy. So, you know, absolute massive thumbs up and a fist pump, I suppose we could do if I was in the room. There you go. Well, do you know what? This has been absolutely fascinating for me to listen to sort of you, the clubs that you're working with, how they, you know, all the different organizations and how people haven't said no. So
Well,
other
somebody's going to at
people,
some point, Gary. It's definitely going
they
to happen.
are.
And then I'm going to be
They
like,
are.
I don't know how to deal with this. I better ring Paul.
Yeah. But I think for me, there's a few things here that clubs and coaches can sort of take into. I think what I would say is people would have said no if you hadn't had the right attitude, if you hadn't had the right communication skills and the way that you've thought around it. There's always rationale. You know, the stuff that you've put together there at Old Liège, there's rationale behind it. Yes, the players have sort of tweaked it, but actually everybody's still got what they've wanted. And your ability to be able to adapt to that, the ability to be able to consider the whole environment that you're in, all of the players, you know, it's an absolute credit. And it's really, really interesting. And
Oh,
hopefully
thank you.
this may prompt others to ask questions. You are on Twitter, you are on social media, so that
I
I'm sure
am definitely, yeah, absolutely.
so they
I'm
will be able to.
happy to chat through. Yeah, I definitely sort of. I mean, if you have an opportunity with ACP, it's just do it, just do it. Don't look back. It's sort of been huge. Or any opportunities for CPD, because we do get in a little bubble, and the networking side of coaching, you know, you do think, oh God, it's really cheesy at times having to go and introduce yourself. But once you get over that first sort of initial hurdle, the opportunities and avenues that opens up is just massive. And fundamentally, we all want to be good at what we're doing. And you know, this last 2 years has just completely snowballed. And I think a lot of that is down to just the networking side of being able to call up people like yourself and ask questions, call up Paul, you know, speak to Demi, you know, speak to all these people. The Scotland stuff, it's pure networking through Masters that got me the under 16s opportunity. And you know, it is if you're willing to put yourself out there are definitely the rewards. For
No,
sure.
definitely, for sure. And I suppose with that, I could now plug that we are hosting in the north this community of practice, where coaches come together in a room, and we get to chat to around different topics that are put on the table. And thankfully, I was able to twist your arm to
Yes,
be one
I'm
of those
looking
guest
forward to
coaches.
it. Absolutely. Yeah, I'll try not to talk as much and listen more, obviously, but yeah.
So that's the Sunday, the 24th of February, and that I'm really excited about that event. And I thank you for saying that you can attend and are one of the guest coaches that are going to come there. But that event like that is a great way to network. You know, swap contact details with people,
Absolutely.
have those discussions, and that could put people in the right journey that they want to go on. Whether that's a club, whether that's a coach. You know, whether that's a young leader that's just wanting to start, that is open to anybody for free to come to. And I'm really excited about what that could offer the whole of the North and what that might kick off in our hockey family. So
Yeah, and I do think we kind of, as a North, we always think, oh, we're a little bit disconnected from the South and England hockey, but these opportunities are there, you know, and I've been to some of your events before and they're brilliant and we've just got to take them. And you know, I think as coaches, that's really important. When you see an opportunity like this, it's a thing I have in my head now. I don't say no, I just say yes, you know,
Yeah,
and I worry about if I've got enough time to do it later,
that's
but
good.
I
Yeah.
don't
When I
say no.
set it up, I
I
did
never
worry
say
about,
no.
yeah, I was thinking, have I got time to do this?
Yeah.
And it was a little bit like it, whether I had time or not, I had to do it. And I think
Yeah.
it's something that we could learn from. So once again, I would just like to say a huge thank you to you for giving me the time. I promised you it'd only be about half an hour, and we've been an hour and 15.
Anyway, oh my
We've been an
God,
hour and 15 minutes
nightmare.
going. So I apologize that we've overran loads.
That's
hopefully the listeners
well,
have got
clearly
stuff.
We enjoyed the chat. Yeah,
we did. And I will definitely be in touch and speak to you soon, but thank you very much for sharing your sort of coaching ABC. I would call this is your journey from A to B to C.
Yeah.
And it's been really interesting to listen to it. So
no, it was a pleasure, Gary. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. And I just wish you all the best with the time that you have. And we will definitely be in touch soon. Brilliant.
Thanks
thank
so
you
much, Gary. Take care.
Take care. Bye.